our Lord in his discourses with the Pharisees and the scribes, as well as the crowds at large, was making it very clear to them that he was no mere man, for he would constantly refer to his Father and himself as being one. And so he was striving to bring them to a proper understanding of just who he was. Not only was he the Messiah, but he was the very God from whom they took their creation. And so the Pharisees and scribes, knowing that this one whom they would admit was a prophet would limit the Lord's capacity to merely a prophet. But the Lord was pointing out that he was not one prophet amongst many, but he was the prophet that Moses first foretold of when he was chosen to lead the chosen people out of slavery to Egypt. And so the prophet who was to come was to be greater than him, because he would be the very God of Moses himself, and he would lead all mankind out of captivity. And so the Pharisees and the scribes truly show themselves to be men of malicious intent, for it was they who were going about the crowds fostering this notion that he was not from Bethlehem and from Galilee, and hence he could not be the one, despite the fact that they clearly witnessed day in and day out all those prophetic foretellings of Christ and how the Lord himself would fulfill each and every one of them. Why were they malicious? Because they knew full well that as they were saying these things, they knew that Christ was not born in Galilee, but that he was born in Bethlehem, for they had a very good, I guess what we would call, secret service, and they knew full well who he was. Indeed, as Monsignor Eugene Canavan would point out in many of his works, when anyone would show up claiming to be a teacher of the people, the Pharisees and the scribes would undergo an intense research of him and know more details about him than even the people. And in the case of anyone other than our Lord, they even would know more details about the person than the person did themselves. But this could not be true in the one that they were challenging now, because he was the omnipotent and all-knowing God, and so he knew full well that they knew where he was born and what he was about. And so we see very clearly that they put forth their own teachings in their own ways ahead of that which the Savior was coming to give them, in order to lead them out of their blindness, as he does to each and every generation. Indeed, St. Robert Bellarmine points out that rejection of Christ causes perhaps some joy and some delights in this world, but he would point out that amongst those Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders of the Roman Empire, while they enjoyed the favor of Caesar and the leaders, they enjoyed that for a brief moment, for 20, 30, or 40 years, and St. Robert Bellarmine would point out, and so for 2,000 years after, now they have been suffering the eternal torments of hell because they rejected the one whom all mankind was to look forward to. And so during this season of Lent, we strive to strengthen ourselves, most especially in that doctrine that was central to the Lord's teaching, that he and the Father were one, that is, he was God, and so his teaching contained no error. His teaching was truly the way of life, and all mankind was called to that way. And so let us strive during this Lenten season to prepare ourselves by being thankful to the Lord for all that he has done, by giving us that faith in his baptism and sustaining that faith in the sacramental life of the Church. And most especially, let us reflect upon that mystery by which all this was purchased, that this Savior, this Messiah, this God would come into the world in order to reconcile the world to his Father, and so he would do so by offering that sacred humanity into the hands of his torturers, so that after his sacred humanity was slaughtered and the blood and water would flow out, the Church would be born and the way was open to heaven again. And so we have much to be grateful for as we prepare in a penitential way to celebrate those mysteries of our faith that put the divine seal on all that he taught. For if Christ had not risen from the dead, then all he had taught would have just been like the doctrine of all men. It would have passed Some would have continued to follow it, but eventually it would have passed and gone by the way of all earthly teaching and all teachings of men. That is, it would have at some point merely become dust blown about by the winds of time. And yet, it is 2,000 years later, and the teachings of Christ continue to burn brightly because he truly was who he said he was. He was not merely a man, but he was the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, and so his kingdom will last until the end of time, and it will always be the same, a kingdom of a haven for those who seek and desire the mercy of God, and ultimately to be reunited with God their Father for all eternity in heaven.
Fructum ventris tuum.